You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop. You heard the man, John Lopez. I'm Reginald Natatula. That's Figgy Fig hanging out with you here on this Tuesday. Hope you had a enjoyable, meaningful Memorial Day, for whatever that means to you. And now we back to the grind, baby. We back at it. 713-572-4610 is the number to text to get involved with the program. And we always want you to do that because it's more fun that way. Also, appreciation to the MoCarum Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610. Oh, that gets a ding? Thank you. I appreciate that, Sean. That's very nice of
you. That was a stray. Sorry.
Oh, it's an inadvertent whistle. And then also the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. How did your Memorial Day go, bro?
Man, it was fantastic. By the way, Figgy, that carry the load walk this year was 6 miles.
Ooh, man.
Man.
I picked a good year to go last year.
Yeah, that's right. So we did that.
Y'all doubling up. It was like 3 miles last.
Well, that's what they said, but it ended up being 4.5 or 5. Now it's 6. But yeah, man, a lot of cooking. Did a little experimenting with some venison carne asada. Turned out great. Little barbecue.
Why is none here for us to try?
I can bring you some. I can bring you some tomorrow.
I feel like you
left.
Just need to assume. Yeah, that
you might as well quit asking, man. He's just going to eat in your face.
And that's the thing. I don't even need you to bring a lot. Just enough to taste.
Yeah.
Just enough to taste.
I'll bring some. I got plenty left. And no, it was a great weekend. Obviously busy. Got the granddaughter for 8 hours on Sunday. So how about that? Took her to...
You wore out?
I was worn out, man. I was worn out. I took her to go... she likes semis, is what she calls them. The big 18-wheeler trucks?
Yeah. So we stood. That's what a lot of people call them, yeah, in fact. Yeah,
yeah. It's not called?
No, a lot of people call them 18-wheelers, but she goes semis. Some people call them 18-wheelers. So
some people call me Maurice. I get it. Like, I just... What? But I don't know what I was expecting to happen there when you said semis.
She called them cars.
So
she likes to call them vehicles at times. Transportation, even.
But I went and stood by I-45 at a safe distance, and I had her on my shoulders.
God,
and
children are the best.
And we were doing the pump your fist, trying to get...
Oh, how many?
Two.
Oh, you love to see it.
Two.
You love to see
two.
It.
Two. It was awesome.
She's going to be a truck driver when she gets older. Watch.
How about that?
Forget college.
Yeah. She's the best kind of kid.
Get your CDLs.
That's yeah. The kid that could be appeased by something stupid. Like, I have a friend who, when his son is bored, he takes him to parking garages. He started him early. Just like taking him to like a parking garage, and he is just appeased to no end.
Yes.
And it's like, dude, that's the hack.
Yeah.
Like, don't get him hooked on the tablet. Get them hooked on we going to the parking garage, because you can do that for the low.
Man, she is a girly girl, but she loves semis and choppers, helicopters. Choppers, chopper, chopper, chopper.
Good look.
Chopper style.
How about you guys?
Chopper style.
Oh, man, it was a very laid-back Memorial Day weekend, for me. I imagine same for Figgy, because I feel like I would have seen it if it was Figgy, at the Figgy Fig on social media.
Yeah.
He's making moves.
Yeah, no, I was chilling, man. In my little recording studio, watching some binge watching some shows and stuff like that. So
there you go, there you
yeah,
go.
Man.
All right, cool. I wonder, are we getting any show recommendations in the mixtape at some point?
Maybe that's what we do. We can do a little update on what everybody watching,
very
so we
good.
Can kind of share.
Very good.
Share as a class.
Excellent. Let us know how your Memorial Day weekend was, because there was a lot of things that happened. Obviously, sports-wise, we learned some things, including shout-out to the man, Jonathan M. Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, because one of the things that we learned over the extended weekend is that that trade-up that the Texans had to possibly move up 20 spots was supposedly for Arianti Ursary.
Man.
A offensive lineman that they ultimately still got later on in that round. But, yeah, man, what does that then mean for Ursary? What does that mean for the Texans? 713-572-4610. That they were trying to make a trade that ultimately didn't materialize to move up 20 spots to get Arianti Ursary.
And they got him 10 picks later.
Yes,
because they moved up 10.
Right.
To me, I can't speak for you guys, but to me, this kind of changes everything in a sense for what the expectation is for Ursary.
Everything?
It really does. Let's go down to the let's assume it's true, right? That his reporting was valid. And
I mean, at this point, it feels pretty evident, right? We had the reporting that they wanted to move up.
Yeah. Then he got it from this end.
Right.
Yeah. So let's assume that it's true that they were going to move up 20 spots. Reggie, you don't move up 20 spots to number 38 overall and not expect that guy to be a cornerstone.
Sure.
An almost immediate starter.
Do you think the pressure is kind of a little more easier now since they didn't trade up 20 spots?
That's a great point. But now that we know that they tried, does it kind of change the math for you a little bit? Because here's the thing. If you draft a lineman in the first round, immediately you expect him to be a starter, almost a day one starter, correct? A first round lineman?
I mean, I would think so, yeah.
So he was 38. They moved up, and to move up 20 spots to 38, that means that they targeted him as one of their guys, as a guy that can be a cornerstone piece. Now, we'll find out this week what it looks like. Remember last year, Kamari Lassiter.
Starting tomorrow, OTAs, baby. In fact, I think the last five in the NFL to get going go tomorrow, including your Houston Texans.
Yeah, and remember last year during OTAs, hey, wait a minute, Kamari Lassiter's running with the first team. Hey, was that right? Is that going to happen when training camp starts? Well, it did, and he was. It changes the way I look at this. It really does.
All right, so to what degree? Because I think at the same time, and maybe you argue that these are all just to lower expectation, to, you know, obviously lower the learning curve to some degree for Arianti Ursary. Mm-hmm. But all the conversation has been he's going to play at tackle and we'll let it kind of play out.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like what you have situated is a left tackle that you brought in who at least is established for this season, and then a right tackle spot that is open, but then you would have to move Arianti Ursary to a new place and have him learn something that he has done. Basically, he hardly hasn't done because he played 94% of his college snaps at left tackle. Do you feel so confidently in that way that you go, he moves into right tackle? Because I think even drafting him where you did at 48, I think everybody looked up and goes,
hey, wait a minute.
He feels like he is the type of player that in the future becomes your left tackle. And I think that is kind of the same sentiment that you're putting up. I think the only distinction that I think would change in that instance is if you believe him to be a left tackle or like an immediate right tackle right this moment.
The way I would do it, the way I would describe it is let's take ourselves back to the day after that draft, okay? And we're talking about the Texans just moved up 20 spots to draft a left tackle. What would we be thinking? What would we be saying in that situation?
I mean, I think we'd be saying
20 spots.
I think we'd definitely be saying that they like the guy, which I don't think that we have anything different there. I think the question I have in response to that is if it was in that situation, why wouldn't they have made if they wanted to do it four spots later than 34 where they ultimately selected Jayden Higgins? Why wouldn't they do that there?
Maybe
if that's
they
loved the way
Higgins that much. They had Higgins higher, you know, but they had these two guys. They thought they had a left tackle. They were willing to trade with an old friend of the New England Patriots to move up to 38. I'm telling you, when I saw that, I went, whoa, that's their left tackle. I mean, maybe not day one.
I will probably be thinking like, man, do they really like Blake Fisher that much?
Well, I think that's another offshoot of this.
Yeah, that would be my thought if they traded 20 spots up.
Yeah, I think it would be a bigger reflection to what we're already kind of talking about Blake Fisher, at least I am. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about that cat. I think we'd be talking about that a lot more. Then we would have this.
and your homeboy Trent Brown as well. I feel because it's not just about, it wouldn't just be about Blake Fisher. It'd be any of these right tackles that you feel that you have there. Yeah. And of course, like, you're not drafting, and I think you get into a tough place if you're simply drafting for the upcoming season, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there is some of that, but also it needs to be a more well-rounded perspective. So, you know, the selection of Arianti Arcery can't just be, well, we need him at the right tackle right now. Mm-hmm. However, if that does factor in, that does speak to what you were able to put together in your room, which if you're going there, I think would also speak to the way that you handled piecing together the offensive line as a whole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think we would be talking about Titus Howard. You know, that guy's your left guard. If they moved up 20 spots to get a tackle, Titus Howard's your left guard. We know that already. We think we do anyway.
And yeah, I think that is where we all kind of hypothesized.
That's where we are. You mentioned Trent Brown. What are they? You know, what are their hopes and thoughts at left tackle?
Depth guy with knowledge of the system is all I got. Like depth guy with knowledge of the system that maybe help, or what I imagine might be the system. Right, he has knowledge of that. The Patriots way, I guess, is the way to put this. So he will help. Hopefully lessen the learning curve for the entirety of the offensive line room. But, I think that for me, that's always been a way I looked at Trent Brown, and maybe I continue to push that even further to that direction. I don't honestly, and I hear where you're coming from, and I want to respect your opinion here. I just got to say, this, like, finding out that they wanted to move up 10 more spots, that they wanted to be uber aggressive to get Arianti Arcery, it makes me happy that they feel so strongly about him as a player, and that's cool. But it does not say as much about him as it does maybe make me look over there at Nick Caserio and how this moving and shaking thing. Like, it's cool, and I appreciate that, like, there's a level of, I guess, element of surprise that comes in where other teams cannot adequately put their finger on what kind of moves you will make. I think for me, more than anything, it does call into question, what is the value that you place on these things? Because 20 picks in which you would have to give up to move up that direction, kind of scares me that you were willing to, you know, and we got a little bit of that to a lesser degree with the Woody Marks move up. Like, you were willing to just go, hey, you value this completely different. But at the same time, also not being able to evaluate. And I understand the draft is a fraught evaluation process of determining what other teams want to do. And there are some wild cards out there that are similar, not exactly in the same place as Casera that you're trying to manage. But not being able to tell that, hey, you know, Arianti will get another 10 spots down to that place where you want to select him. Like, That is kind of surprising to me, and that calls into question for me some of that decision-making process that happens there.
Well, and I think it does, you know, affect Arcery and how we're looking at him. We just laid it out. I mean, I think he's going to be a tackle. I think they think he's going to be a cornerstone piece. I think, you know, with his size and everything, it elevates what we can expect from him. But you're right. Figgy asked the question, you know, kind of along the lines of, did Arcery catch a break in terms of public perception? You know, not being the guy that they moved 20 spaces up for. I think that's fair, but I think a more accurate thing, did Nick Caserio catch a break? Because Nick Caserio...
Yes, he took a break. Because if you traded 20 spots up, and I'm guessing maybe he had to give up maybe a second round pick next year or something like that. I'm not sure what the price would be, but if he couldn't get on the field over a Karen Robinson or Blake Fisher or something like that...
Not just that. But Nick Caserio moved up for one Kenyon Green in the first round. And all of a sudden, he moves up 20 spots, more than half a draft. Let's put it in those terms. He moved up more than half. He would have moved up more than half a draft to get Arcery. That would have been heavy pressure on Nick Caserio to get this one right.
It would have been pressure on everybody at that point.
On Cole Popovich. We haven't even mentioned him. I think, you know, Cole Popovich, you don't make a move like that or try to make a move like that unless you get your offensive line coach signs off on Arcery and says, that's the dude right there, you know?
Yeah, I think that's to some degree fair, but I think also, like, Cole Popovich already, like, I don't know, is there a way to raise the standard or raise the questions that are going to be there on Cole Popovich considering how bad the offensive line was prior and how I think we all look at the way, or at least I shouldn't say we all, me personally, how I look at the way that they handled putting together this offseason, this offensive line. Like, I think that he has quite the circumstance in front of him in trying to change the perception of what this Houston Texas offensive line is. So I think it's already tough. An additional, a bigger trade up for Arianti Arcery it does change the way you look at it. I don't know how much I would say that. Somebody mentioned that the Texans did indeed trade down for Kenyon Green. Yes, I know, but the ways in which you move, then change the perception of that player to some degree. But yeah, man.
No, I think it would have raised the expectation of Popovich. For sure, Nick Caserio. Simply because here's the guy we talked about. Here's the guy you wanted. Make him a Pro Bowler. You know?
Yeah, but I think there's also the given in any with any offensive lineman coming in from college is that they're not going to be, you know, whole articles necessarily.
No, not immediately, but I mean that would have been the expectation.
Yeah, I think our expectation would be he should be starting right now at this point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I think
right now I feel like I don't think none of us feel like he need to be starting right now. I think maybe if he's good enough he should, but I don't think it's pressure for him to start right away.
No, I think that you're right. There isn't that pressure, especially as they have made it clear that they're going to start him at tackle and only in the circumstance where you look around and he has absolutely needed to move in,
yeah.
Right, where other outcomes don't work, would you move him in? I think that is also, I think maybe more so, has lessened the expectations for him. But, yeah, it's kind of wild to find out that the player that they, and they still made a move for him, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it was just when you couldn't get that move, you moved to the next closest place that you could ultimately afford to get, and you hope that he got there. Maybe it's that simple.
They really, really wanted him.
But the
at minimum.
They really
wanted him.
Does that at least give you more confidence in who he is as a player?
It gives me more confidence, but again, it kind of changes the way I look at what the expectations are. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, my gut feeling, like I said, was whoa, 20 spots they were willing, and then they got him at 10. They were hell or high water. They were going to get him. That says something.
Yeah. Well, but not so hell or high water that they selected him at 34. Like, that is the thing that just four spots there.
They just think Jaden Higgins. You know, they're right there.
And they should.
Neck. Yeah.
They should think the world of Jaden Higgins. Yeah. It feels evident that he fits exactly what you need, especially as a, you know, a dude who's a big body but can do various different things and, you know, serves as to some degree a secondary, like a little bit of an insurance policy for Nico Collins, who we know has a level of injury within him. So, yeah, no, I love the Jaden Higgins. Don't get me wrong. It's just what's the distinction here between making that selection at 34 if you really love him versus then trading up, understanding that you have the capital to do so, to be fair, but then trading up to try to get to 38 to select Ursary.
I was going to say just them having the capital to do it, I think that says a lot too. Mm-hmm. Them trading back into the second round and pretty much giving that first round pickup, I felt like they felt like they could be aggressive if they wanted to jump up 20 spots.
We'll have to come back around to this because we're up against it. But then I kind of want to power rank the offensive line room as a whole, because if they feel so strongly about them, does this then point to the idea that the offensive line still, at least even in their estimation, has weakness in a place that was problematic for them last year? We'll circle back around to that as we continue in the loop on this Tuesday. But coming up next, did the Astros change a little bit of a narrative? They finished out their 17-game and 17-day streak. Let's talk about what we learned through that, but did they change the narrative on this extended long weekend that we're just coming off of? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Did the Astros change the narrative at all over this weekend? 713-572-4610 as they finished up a 17-game and 17-day stretch. I'm glad that I could stop saying that here shortly.
Seems like we said it for 17 days.
I definitely said it at least 17 days. That's the at least But yes, they finish out 10-7 through that stretch.
That was your pick, wasn't it?
Meeting my mark, not meeting your mark.
11-6.
Nor our friend Lacey, who was a constant listener of the show. But yeah, man, did they change the narrative at all? Obviously, they make their way through it. And obviously, they finish out with a flourish. Obviously, winning, was it four of the five series? Or winning or, drawing, I guess, tying in some ways. Those four of the five series and beating probably the best team of those, the Seattle Mariners, 3-1 over the weekend. And so for you, Lopez, what did we take from the series? What do you view as a potential change of the narrative here?
Yeah, I think there was. 3 out of 4 from the Mariners, to me, kind of put the exclamation point on things. I really can't think – I really don't think you can sort of quantify how big that was to take that series against the Mariners, because it wasn't just taking it. By the way, they could have swept it. I mean, they had an easy chance to win all four, or had a chance to win all four, but they took 3 out of 4. It wasn't just that. It was how they did it. It was boogeyman tendencies, you know, as Figgy liked to say. I mean, a walk-off to end it in the final game with Christian Walker, the guy that changed everything about himself. We'll get to that in the question of the day.
A laser to the Crawford box.
Laser there. And, you know, 10-7, they're only a game and a half back. It was against the Mariners, and we were going into this weekend talking about, well, you know, are the Mariners, you know, still sensing the Astros? Is it still there? You know, what the Astros have been? Yeah, it is now. It is now, because they're only a game and a half back. The Mariners all of a sudden were like, oh boy, we couldn't do anything against these guys. You know, I think it was very important.
I don't know that I go that far with this series against the Mariners. Obviously, a lot of credit to the Astros for getting the series win, and obviously you could point to a lot of give a lot of credit to one, the pen. Like, the pen has just continued to be very, very good in these circumstances, and you know, very happy to see like Jose Altuve having an incredible weekend, right? Where he goes, what was it, 8-17 over the weekend, including, obviously, we talked a little bit about their Thursday night where he got a couple of homers in that game, a multi-homer game. But the thing that's tough about it for me, and it feels weird because I was looking at this series as, could this be one that gives us a little insight into this team? And I guess to some degree, yes, but also over the weekend, I looked around and I went, man, the AL just isn't all that good.
Well, it's not. It's not.
And so in a way that serves as where I go, I don't know if that really changed the narrative about the Astros, if it's like, hey, you're just playing in a conference where, or a league rather, where it, you know, the baseball just isn't nearly as good as the other side. But at the same time, also, that's a little bit of hope in that, you know, the idea of you just kind of hanging tough here is fine, because it doesn't feel like American League baseball is the type of baseball right now where the entirety of the league is going to run away from you.
See, I think it did. And I think the best way I could put it is the Astros basically came out of this series saying, we're still here. We're still here. We're the Astros. We're on your heels. We just took 3 out of 4. Oh, by the way, Yordan didn't play. We still didn't have Yordan. And you know what? Jose Altuve.
We're spinning that as a good thing, huh?
Now, having taken 3 out of 4, you know, we did it without Yordan.
Sure.
You know? Right. And Jose Altuve woke up, as you mentioned. Christian Walker walked it off. The bullpen, for the entirety of the 17 games, for all 17 games, they had a 2.66 ERA.
Is that good?
That's how I would put it. You can talk about how the AL maybe isn't that strong. Hell, wasn't that strong last year, certainly in this division. And, you know, the way I would put it is the Astros came into the weekend thinking, well, let's see, and they left the weekend saying, we're still here.
No, and that's, I mean, that is something, don't get me wrong, but I feel like they've been kind of, we're still hearing it for a little bit here throughout the season. I can say that being the dude who has been taking hits of hopium consistently.
Yeah.
I think one of the things, though, is that these strengths that you talk about, like especially the pen has absolutely been a strength. How much trouble might there be in the future for the pen, considering that, yes, they made it through the 17-game and 17-day stretch, but the 17-game and 17-day stretch also presented more challenges for that pen, in that you're going to depend on more of these kind of, and these guys that you're bringing up from AAA. I was going to call them quad A guys, but that's probably not fair, because I don't know how much that actually describes who they are. but the likes of Gordon and Gusto and Walter, like how much are you going to have to depend on these guys, considering that you sent somebody else to the IEL in your rotation? And these guys, especially, we mentioned this specifically with Colton Gordon, but we could probably talk about this with a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. These are the guys that you probably get what you're seeing, which is these guys come out and they maybe give you five. Mm-hmm. Six if you're really, really lucky, but they maybe give you five. Mm-hmm. And now you're leaning even more on your bullpen in these circumstances where your offense has given you enough, but it's a lot of singles. It's maybe not necessarily a lot of games where they give you run support to the point where you're clear of the other team. And there's going to be a lot of stress on this bullpen, even though, yes, they did make it through this stretch. I think that you look at the entirety of the marathon of the season, and there's more trials and tribulations ahead. And not to say that they can't handle it, that the Astros aren't capable, but I don't know that the idea of changing a narrative is not, like, it just continues to be for me that this Astros team has a capability of contending, but I think I was already in that place.
Yeah.
At least, like, for postseason play, I should say, because contending carries some connotations. Right. But it's still going to be difficult. Like, they're still amongst this group of everybody as opposed to where they had been in previous years of being kind of above the fray and playing with the big dogs.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
See, I look at it the exact opposite way, because this series, had it gone the other way, all of a sudden the narrative, using that word, about the Astros could have spiraled completely in a different direction. Not only did you not have Yordan and win, you didn't have two starters and won. You know, you went 10-7 and you beat the Mariners, and you know, right on their heels. I mean, Wesneski, obviously, Blanco, who knows, but you were without him. Yes, it put pressure on your bullpen, but the bullpen answered and came up with, I mean, guys like Bennett Souza.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, guys were just making, this was a we're still here kind of Astros stretch for me. And we've seen this before. You know, and now, five of the next eight series are against teams with losing records. So, you know, you're in a place where we're still here, guys. And you can't convince me that the Mariners, at least collectively a little bit, went, oh, great. You know?
It's the Astros.
Oh, great. You know?
Yeah. I mean, no, I feel you. But I think when I'm looking at it, I'm not looking at the word narrative from the Seattle Mariners perspective. I'm looking at it from the Astros perspective. And and as I look forward to the season, even talking about the stretch of, you know, relatively, I don't know, easier games comparatively to playing, you know, teams with better, I guess, records. And the Astros haven't necessarily been this team that's been world beaters against the bad teams, right? You lost to the White Sox earlier this season, and maybe you could say some of the hitting has come around to some degree. They're not world beaters. And so, again, you're going to have to fight for all of this. But I think the injuries that have happened when it comes to the rotation, it gives me a place where I'm like, yo, you're not out of the woods by any stretch.
No,
I still feel largely the same about the Astros, which, to be fair, was relatively positive, I would say. But I don't think I'm in a place where, woo, they made it through and now they are cruising, per se. There's still stuff to be done.
Nobody here is saying they're cruising. No one is.
That's what I thought you was trying to say, to be honest.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking like, oh, we don't need Yordan then.
No.
We might as well trade him.
No one here is saying they're cruising. What I am saying is this could have spiraled almost out of control in the other direction.
Yeah, they're holding this together.
Yeah.
Which feels more less like a changing and more like we keeping on keeping on, right? But, like, this feels like a keeping on Astros team right now, which I'll take. Mm-hmm. I will take it this moment. But I'm not going to go so far as to say that, man, you know, doing that has changed the way that they're going.
No, and the word was narrative, and that's what I'm honing in on. the narrative would have been completely different. Completely different.
Yeah, but now we're arguing against like I can't prove a negative in that case, right? What it would have been if they did not get to that place. I can only kind of talk about where what they have been doing to this point. And they're continuing. And that I'll appreciate and I take that for what it is. From the 409, they were 22 and 28 this time last year. No, definitely a marked improvement from that, but that was also the doldrums. That was the pits, and I don't want to compare to that place. You want to talk about things that I am the places where I'm getting my hopium hits for this Astros team? Over the weekend, Luis Garcia threw off of a mound, for whatever that's worth for you. I don't know.
Playing catch. Is he playing catch?
That's what I'm saying. Like what this amounts to a crumb. If this offers you any level of sustenance, more power to you. And on top of that, Dana Brown talked about hoping to get Eric Geddy back, quote, somewhere in the month of July.
Well, that one I'm not putting much stock into.
You're putting a lot of stock into the first one?
Maybe a little more.
Okay.
If he's pitching off a mound, just by rules of, you know, rehab, that kind of thing. I just feel like they were teetering on in a really bad place. Instead, they answered, and they answered with a lot of things working against them.
But here, this is where the idea of changing the narrative, I think this is where we've diverted here. They were teetering on the place of on the precipice of a bad place, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they now, if not teetering on the precipice of a bad place?
Well, they've answered. They've come up and proved that guys like Souza and Ort and all these other relievers can do it. That they can win games with Christian Walker hitting a walk off. We'll see how that goes. Jose Altuve answered. Certainly, you know, the guys, the usual suspects that we didn't think were going to be usual suspects, like Jake Myers, you know, did their deal, but Paredes, and we know all the other names, of course. The bullpen answered. And oh, by the way, I do think it matters that it was against the Mariners. Mariners could have gotten out here saying, all right, we got them this year. They're not saying that right now.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I think it's fair, but I think they got to beat the teams they supposed to beat, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could go around and beat the Mariners, Yankee, whoever. But then it's when they lose to sorry teams, it's just like, dang, man. So to me, they like coming out as an average team to me, like middle of the pack team.
Well, we'll see, because like I said, they got 5 out of 8 series.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it is a thing where they could keep going off of the building off of this.
Starting tonight, Hunter Brown Day, baby. Enjoy your pseudo holiday that we've built, the Hunter Brown time taking the mound against the A's. Some people will point to them as the Sacramento A's, what have you, but they are in town and they get going tonight. From the 832, I know we're not complaining after going 10-7 in 17 days of consecutive baseball. Yeah, you're right. We aren't complaining. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think I was complaining in that. I think they did exactly what I would be happy with and what I said I would be happy with on the front end. I think on the other side of it, I'm just like, all right, cool. Like you're, and this isn't just the marathon sprint versus thing. This is just you had some knocks that are going to continue to pose big challenges going forward that they're going to have to deal with. But yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, which is actually inspired by one of these things with the Astros. Like, do you feel like you've figured some things out with Christian Walker? Because he made some drastic changes to try and help himself get to a place where he could get you a walk-off home run. And with that being the case, what are the most drastic moves that you've made trying to change your luck or your fortune? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Text those in and we'll discuss it next. Question of the day, inspired by Christian Walker. What's the most drastic move you made to try and change your luck or fortune? 713-572-4610. Especially if you're superstitious, hit us up and let us know. Christian Walker has had a very interesting season after joining the Astros on a 3-year, $60 million deal. He'd been hitting sub-200. He has changed that since, thank God. He's now above the Mendoza line.
212?
212 is where he is hitting with an OPS of 629, which we can still afford to make that better. Big dog. But yeah, man, he is one of those guys that you anticipated being a absolute strength of this offense, and he's been anything but to this point. And he's been working very hard to get to this place. He's talked about it in a couple of instances of the kind of stress that he's placed upon himself, because he knows that he's supposed to be a somebody that's relied upon offensively. And so he's done a lot to try and make himself better, to get himself into a better place, including, according to Chandler Rome this weekend, doing things like moving lockers and changing facial hair and
pulled up his socks.
Yeah, it changed the way he wore his socks. Baseball is one of those sports, man, where that superstition jumps up a lot. But, according to Walker, like outside of him, somebody conceived of him switching lockers, because prior to this, I guess last couple series, because this can't happen before during the team's trip to the Rays mm-hmm. to Tampa, he had been using the locker that had previously been used by Jose Abreu.
Astros legend right there.
Someone wasn't thinking right. When they decide, hey, welcome to the club. There's your locker right there. Oh, yeah, who was there before? Jose Abreu. Oh.
I just
can't. Now, what it is, it seemed like that was more of a, you're a first baseman, so here's the first baseman
maybe,
locker.
I don't know. I don't know how
I felt like they didn't believe it was a curse there.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, I mean, he inherited the locker from Jason Hayward, who had it last. So, like, I mean, Hayward was solid for you coming in last year and doing things mm-hmm. off of the street, so to say, or off the scrap heap in a way. But yeah, man, like he was the first person to have it since Jose Abreu, and the last free agent who was the last free agent first baseman that the franchise signed to a 3-year deal. All those things are alike. And I think that this is the thing where I imagine it and I go, they probably were just like, it doesn't matter. It's a locker.
Mm-hmm.
However, baseball is so damn superstitious that I'm surprised that nobody was like, we sure?
Yeah.
Or maybe he was supposed to be the good juju that comes in mm-hmm. and cleans up the locker. And then we realize that, oh, this actually works the other way, where the locker's juju matters a lot more. Are you superstitious?
Not real. I mean, occasionally I'll do stuff, but not really superstitious. And as far as the question, I'm not even really talking about necessarily superstition.
No, sure. But I do find it interesting that, like, I mean, this he started reaching to superstitious places on this, because, I mean, I would surmise that he's not a superstitious type of dude either, because, mm-hmm. I mean, we got how many games into the season before he started moving to superstitions to try and help deal with this? He was obviously working on the idea of, like, what's my approach? How can I, you know, can I look at video and try and get there? You know, some of the more, I guess people would say, logical approaches to it. And it's been going so bad mm-hmm. that he was like, well, what happens if I shave my beard into a mustache? You know, what happens if I pull my socks up? Will that help? Like, that's how down bad he got. And I imagine that that's probably it, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's superstitious. It just has to be bad enough, right? If it gets bad enough, you will find yourself superstitious.
Or just changing the mojo, man, the juju. You know, just something you've done that wasn't necessarily superstition, but just like, okay, I'm gonna change this completely up. Things that you've done. I thought of one after. I mentioned earlier about I took a job interview while I was working at another job because I didn't like what they did for me. But I thought of another one that's more like way back machine. It was actually a quinceañera. You know what a quinceañera is? A quinceañera.
He added the extra syllables in there.
Yeah. So, and that's when the girl asks the guy, because they pick the girls first and then they ask, can you want to stand with me or whatever in the kitchen?
Is that something for high school?
You have to explain a little bit more for me, because the way you explain it is not hitting.
I know how it worked, but I know it was more of a high school thing.
It's a high school thing when a girl turns 15. Sometimes they call them the SESAs if they do it 16, and it's just sort of like a presentation of this girl.
Sure,
you know, yeah, like, you know, whatever.
Look like a damn wedding. Now
it's like a wedding.
Yeah, it looked like one. It's like I had to work one time.
Yeah,
and I'm so, like, is this little girl getting married?
It's very Lord. Much this very similar, but with bands and DJs and presentations and all this stuff.
I mean, it's that, but it's also not. It's opportunity to party.
Well, exactly.
Like that's sometimes you just, especially in various cultures, this is just the opportunity for us to turn up, I appreciate it.
It looked fun, but when you see a bunch of high school kids, mainly ninth graders, they just sitting around doing nothing.
No, well, not in the day, because and the girl that's turning, you know, having the birthday, she picks her court or whatever.
Gotcha.
And they pick their dates. It's like a, what do these call it, Sadie Hawkins or something?
Yeah.
Like, so they pick their dates. So there was this girl, and I was kind of attempting to get in her good graces.
Yes.
Her best friend, one of her best friends, asked me to the quinceañera. And Jeannie Cupcho asked me to the quinceañera.
You don't gotta put governments out here. This is crazy.
And I said, let me think about it. Because I wanted the other girl.
Okay.
I wanted the other girl.
I got you.
Yeah.
And so you're doing the Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so I said, nah, man.
Trying to hold out.
So I said, nah, man. As it turned out, the other girl did ask me.
Okay.
Yeah. Fast forward all these years, we're married.
Look at that.
Okay.
Look at that. So now, you ultimately did change it like that.
Now,
way.
Is your wife still best friends with that?
Oh, God, no. God, no.
That's a great one. All right, so I think,
how'd you wake up the bats?
So for me, it's not even fully the superstitious level. It's more of the Deion Sanders primetime look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah, you got to change it up.
And especially when I was a little bit younger on air, mm-hmm. one of the things that I would do, especially if I wasn't feeling it, and this is when I wore my hair out and up, and of course it wasn't as long, so it didn't get as unwieldy. And you've seen me do this once or twice.
Yeah,
I put a scarf on it, right? I would kind of as a headband, I'd work my scarf in a way almost like a bandana and put it on to the point where my co-host knew, oh, Reggie got a scarf on, it's going to be a good show. And of course, like, it's just a way of
it's
kind
a scarf
of
put, show.
It is the putting the good energy out there. Yeah. And so that was my thing, is like, hey, man, whether maybe I just wasn't feeling it, or I just felt like, hey, we need to have a good show today.
Yeah. Wake up the bats.
Here we go.
Just like they do in baseball.
Here go to scarf.
Shake the whole batting.
Here go to scarf show to kind of change up the vibes, you know? And so, yeah, that was it for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if this is considered good juju or not, but it was one time, Lopez mentioned job interviews. It was one time I had a job interview. This was early on. I would probably say 2017. So I was like part-time. Mm-hmm. Wasn't on the show. I would fill in once in a while type thing. And I was just like, man, I ain't really getting no. I want to get some full-time work. I want to get somewhere. So I had an interview at the other station. And I was already nervous a little bit because I was just like, man, I feel like I'm sneaking behind somebody back. Mm-hmm. Had the interview. The interview went well. I was walking out. I was talking to the receptionist, mm-hmm. and I looked at my phone, and my boss was called. Laura was calling me.
Uh-oh.
Laura Reynolds. I'm like, what the?
She found out.
I'm like, did he just call and tell her?
Snitched. Somebody snitched.
I'm like, man. So I'm in the parking. I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I call her back, and she like, hey, I just wanted to see if you wanted to work, get some more hours. You could work. We got the Texans games coming up, and maybe you could train and learn how to run the Texans game.
Oh, so that was immediate juju for you.
Yeah, so I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
But I was still kind of in a pickle, because I'm like, this guy said he was going to call me on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me, at the time, I didn't know anything about the stations.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you got to let go of that job at 610, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. But I was thinking, I'm like, I was trying to work both. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. The guy said they went on a hiring freeze, and he's going to let me know. Never called back. The rest is history. I started working my way up here.
I
know.
That's similar, kind of similar to the 281. Working in a warehouse, an older salesman asked why he wasn't in sales. He told me to dress like the job I wanted, which got me into sales. 25 years later, global vice president of sales.
Hey, oh, there you go.
How about that?
That's one of those ones that's kind of tried and true. A lot of people say that, but I mean, it works to some extent. Like, if you could swing it, like, don't be in a warehouse wearing a three-piece suit necessarily. Mm-hmm. That might not necessarily work the way that you want to. However, I think that's fair. Someone said they retired, got out of education to change their luck. Okay, interesting. somebody said they are superstitious when it comes to cooking and sports. How are you superstitious with cooking? Like, I'm interested.
How are you superstitious? Is
that like you cook in a way that's like, the way people that are like, they eat black eyed peas or what have you.
Oh, maybe.
On New Year's, under the table
maybe,
or something.
Yeah, maybe like
that.
And then somebody said, let's be honest, Christian Walker shaved his beard and then his wife didn't like the mustache. So she told him to shave it. It's quite possible.
It could be.
Could be it.
Yeah.
And then they said, get Christian Walker one of Mark Grace's slump busters.
Quit my job from the 832. Quit my job on New Year's Eve with no backup plan and no job lined up. Right now? Making twice as much money as
I do.
How about
that? There you go. Shout out to all the slump busters.
So smaller ones
out there.
I usually do is sometimes I just take a different route to work.
Mm-hmm.
If I've been taking that same route to work for a couple weeks, I try to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I won't be going down the same exact road.
Yeah.
Sometimes I switch it up, because sometimes you get a little lucky. You might see something you never saw before. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you switch it up.
All right. So shout out to Christian Walker. Hope his slump busting changes, whether it was moving lockers, getting out of the Jose Abreu locker, changing the socks, changing the mustache. Hopefully that helps jumpstart and wasn't just a small blip as he tries to climb his way back to better performance, which you need right now, especially as we haven't gotten really updates on Jordan, right? We're hearing a lot of the same. And that does not really bode towards pushing towards his return. So we hope Christian Walker can find his bat because that's going to be needed, right? You still need more offense. Like the offense that you're getting is still
You still need more sufficient. Offense. And you need more Christian Walker.
Agreed. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it is a Tuesday, so we'll welcome in B. Scott and also talk about how we are 100 days until the start of the NFL season. We'll do that and more next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.